The Guardian.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
We're past the first phase, and now the games are flying thick and fast like the young Royals in their new helicopter. Light Cameroon action for Brazil as they make it into the last 16, while Mexico, Holland and Chile all join them on Monday. What awaits on Tuesday? There's Croatia, England, of course, but also Uruguay, Italy. That, plus a little bit of Group C fun for you, coming up in this World Cup Football Daily. Well, there you go, day 12, and the team's beginning to drop on out, but rolling on in into this rather fine little establishment. Ian McCaw.
Hey, Jimbo.
Lounging in the corner like a regular.
Very much so.
Yeah, all right. Scott Murray, nice to see you.
And you, James.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Excellent. How did you enjoy your day? I was confused, I have to say, confused by it. Contemporaneous matches, or simultaneous as you would put it, simultaneous matches. I understand the need for it,
right?
But it just, especially if you've gone, and I know a lot of people have, if you've gone to the effort of watching every single game, more or less, to this point, when they suddenly start, it's a bit like collecting every sticker, and then halfway through the book they say, well, you can either have this one or that one.
Well, of course, you could still watch every game.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
These days with your laptop. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do that like, well, 20 years ago.
Fair point.
I was you just had to accept it.
I was doing it with my smartphone, but of course it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the net result is I don't really know too much about either of the evening games.
This is the problem. You've got to concentrate on one.
Exactly. Which one did you concentrate on, Scott?
Well, I half concentrated on Cameroon-Brazil.
Right. See, I'm not sure if you can half... Is that oxymoronic, half concentrate?
Well, the problem is, because I was writing the minute-by-minute. The great lie of the minute-by-minute is that whoever's writing them hardly gets to see a kick of the ball.
Yeah. One man who did see the Brazil-Cameroon game was crazy Fernando Duarte, who, with any luck, should be on the other end of this phone line now.
World Cup Football Daily with AC Jimbo.
Hello.
Oh, wow. Hello. What was that? Hello. Fernando.
How are you? How are you?
I'm well. Where are you, Fernando?
I'm in a VIP thing here to watch the game, so it's a bit noisy.
Listen, Fernando, the line's not the best, so just let me ask you this. There had been doubts before this game. Will this victory have everybody convinced that Brazil are on their way to the Hexa?
Listen, they need to take some of the pressure off. But those 45 minutes were the worst 45 minutes Brazil played in a long, long, long time. I go back to the 45 minutes against Italy, where Brazil didn't lose the game, but they were dominated by Italy in March 2013. I thought I had seen the worst of this team. No, they were horrible today in the first 45 minutes. And I think people will be happy. They won 4-1, but the result somehow threatened Brazil for what they played in the first half. So I think people will still be edgy, a bit less edgy. They're going to be hoping that the team will shake their ass now to actually produce.
All right, Fernando, listen, will you go and shake your ass now before they get onto the slower numbers and have a super time? We look forward to...
I'm going to have a massive drink because I swear to God, if I didn't have a heart attack today, I don't think I'm ever going to have one.
Fernando Duarte. I think we all heard exactly what he was saying there. There was an ingrown toenail and a lot of concerns about the first 45 minutes. Concerns as well about the offside business of Fred.
Hmm.
I mean, yeah, but come on. Poor Fred. He'd grown a tash and everything.
Well, no one could, you know, everyone would have felt sorry for him if it got chalked off. I think it was a sympathy non-flag. If there's such a thing. Brazil didn't look particularly good all through the match, I thought. There were, I think that defence just isn't a World Cup winning defence.
We're going to see what happens against Chile. Gaz tweets, is Fred a competition winner? I don't think it means like a World Cup competition. I don't think it means that. Other interesting tweets. Oh, Archer in Tut says, I fully expect the phrase, that's about as useful as a Cameroonian win bonus to enter the footballing vernacular after this World Cup. Very possibly. But this Chile team, This Chile team that Brazil are going to be facing then on Saturday in Minas Gerais, as Nando was just explaining, well, they've just been beaten 2-0 by Holland. You know, from Brazil's point of view, that sounds positive, doesn't it? But it was a different Chile team. In fact, it was a different Holland team. They only had, I think I read, 36% of possession, which for Orange is quite remarkable. But I mean, Chile, they'd already done what they needed to do, no? To get to, they were already, were they not already sure of going through? Yes. Yeah, they were. They were already sure of going through. Vidal wasn't in the side, and that had seemed to have a huge impact on them.
It did sort of have the air of a match where both teams were quite happy with qualifying, and if they had to face Brazil, then so be it.
Mm.
I thought. I mean, Holland. Chile weren't particularly great. Sanchez was lively as usual. Holland again weren't that brilliant. Robin's run for the second goal was just stunning. It was the way he managed to just sort of take his sort of foot off the gas a couple of times before it. Before squeezing that last drop out to buy the extra yard.
If you had to put together your top three, or maybe even top five moments of the World Cup so far, you'd have at least one Robin run in there, possibly for his goal the other day. It was pretty amazing when he just turned on the turbos and blasted past. I'd arguably put in Ronaldo's touchline Lord of the Dance business yesterday against the USA. Ian, what would you have in there?
Van Persie's header is definitely in there.
It's got to be in there.
You can't deny how beautiful the diving header is.
Right. One of the Suarez goals against England, probably, Scott, would you say?
Or possibly both of them.
All right. It's been a World Cup rich in incident. Anything else about this game before we dial up someone who was actually there?
I wanted to give a shout out to Nigel de Jong.
Oh. Pitbull. One of two Pitbulls who were on the field, actually.
He's kind of known for that tackle on Xavi Alonso, that, you know, nice studs in the chest. But he's a really intelligent footballer, and he showed it today. Like, he was, you know, breaking up the play and, you know, not wasting possession. And I think he had a hand in the two goals. And I think he had a really decent season for Milan.
Mm. No, he did.
Last year. See, he's kind of unfairly maligned as this kind of cruncher, but he can do a lot more than that.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. Now, one man who certainly did see the Chile-Holland game was Owen Gibson, because he was there, and I think joins us now on the line. Owen, you're in an airport.
I am indeed in an airport.
All right,
you just want to speak to you, Jimbo.
Ah, brilliant. Okay, well, you've just been at the Chile Holland game, and it wasn't the game I was expecting.
No, I mean, you know, given the goals they've scored so far, and sort of free flowing attacking football both had displayed, it was a bit of a cagey tactical affair. And that's largely down to Louis van Gaal, really, who said afterwards he came with that game plan to stifle Chile, and it worked, and he picked them off at the end. So I mean, it was a bit of a tactical triumph, even if it didn't make much of a spectacle.
Right. How much did the absence of Vidal, how much did that affect Chile, do you think?
I think massively. I mean, I think he sort of makes them tick, although, you know, speaking to the Chilean journalists, they say that, you know, he hasn't been quite the player he was since he had this knee surgery. But I think they definitely missed him. I mean, it was quite interesting. They put him up for the press conference yesterday, and he was very keen to play, saying he was fit and so on. But I think that a combination of his sore Achilles he's had and the yellow card that he was on just made the Chilean management probably think that he didn't want to risk the chance of getting another yellow and missing the round of 16 games. So it was a sort of calculated gamble that perhaps misfired a little bit.
Yeah. Producer Ben wants to know, Owen, this person you were speaking to there, was this your chili sauce?
Yes, indeed. Hey. My hot chili sauce.
Oh, dear. Now, so Chile are going to play Brazil, and it's hard to think of Brazil managing to stifle Chile in quite the same way. And Holland will be playing Mexico. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And about selling, that's two sort of mouth-watering classes, isn't it? The chili sauce theme. You can't imagine Brazil playing the same way as Holland did against Chile. Even though Chile got a woeful record against Brazil in World Cup, so I think that'll give them a very good game. They're clearly a very good side. I mean, they were a bit unlucky, I thought, today. They didn't quite have that cutting edge, but if one or two of those chances had gone in that sort of half-hour period when they were swarming all over Holland, then, you know, they probably would have won that game. I think that'll be a really good game. And obviously, Holland-Mexico will be a really good game too. Although, the Dutch have got something of a sort of momentum behind them, it feels like now. I mean, unusually for a Dutch camp, it feels very sort of unified. And when you've got sort of Iron Robin and Robin van Persie saying, it's not about the team. If you know, it's not about me, it's all about the team. Then you know that Van Gaal must be onto something.
Owen Gibson, who reckons that Holland Mexico is going to be mouse-watering. What do you think? You've just seen them, Ian, while typing out a minute by minute.
Yeah.
Defeating Croatia.
Yeah.
The goals took a while coming, but when they did, they came.
Yeah. I think that maybe owed more, though, to Croatian ill-discipline at the back. They were very poor. And the two of the goals came from corners that, you know, Croatia should be defending and should be clearing. And the third one was just a lightning quick. It was the second one. Came from a lightning quick counter-attack that just Croatia couldn't deal with.
Mm. We used to hear a lot about the Netherlands being suspect at the back. Do you think Mexico have enough to test that out?
Yeah, I just kind of feel like Robin will have too much for the Mexican defence. I mean, Marquez played really well today, but if he came up against the form that Van Persie and Robin are in, I just don't think his creaking bones will be able to hold on to it.
Interesting stat, half-time of that Netherlands-Chile game. Is it first game in this World Cup to have not produced a single shot on target in the first half of the game. Not sure how what point it was that stat changed, because there weren't a lot of shots even. I mean, they obviously had two because they scored, but there weren't a lot of shots in that. Wasn't that interesting, the stat, was it? No, it wasn't.
Wasn't that bad.
All right, okay.
It was quite nice.
Also on Monday, Spain-Australia.
Yes.
Yeah. Tears for David Villa.
That was quite nice, wasn't it?
Well, it was quite poignant, yeah.
Yeah. I've got a great stat about
all right, let's
David
hear
Villa.
It.
Not quite go. A stat, but just more of a story. He is apparently the first player to score a goal with his heel in the World Cup since Bruno Pezzi did one in 1982 for Austria.
Are you saying there's not been a back-heeled goal since 1982?
Since 1982, 32 years ago.
Wow, I'm amazed by that.
That is good, isn't it? If it's true.
Pretty
I'm
much
told it's
every
true.
Other bit of the body has been used.
Mm-hmm. Twitter told me it's true, so it must be true.
All right, okay. Wow. And he was in tears afterwards, subbed off for the final time in a Spain uniform. It was a great goal as well, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a lovely goal. Yeah, yeah, really nice.
I didn't see the other two. What were the other two like?
Well, I thought Mata's goal was fantastic because it was...
Mata scored.
He had so much time to like work out what he was going to do. And he nutmegged the keeper in the end, but he lined it up like a snooker player.
Mm.
He was just sort of leaning down, having a wee look. And then eventually... in 1 point.
Right.
A break of one.
He sunk the white ball, which in this sport isn't a penalty.
Fernando Torres also scored.
Now you're really, really shocking.
With his first shot on target in the World Cup.
Wow.
Having played 123 minutes.
I can't believe I didn't see this game.
Yep.
All right. There you go. Anyway, very poignant. As I say, he was taken off. He's off to Australia now. And all sorts of goodbyes because Xavi Alonso says that's it for him. And
well, now Xavi Alonso has said he's not going to make a decision yet.
Oh, had he said that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. I thought he had made a decision. And Xavi as well. A lot of people. Xavi Hernandez, a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, well.
It was quite nice to see Pepe Reina get a game, though, because he's been a cheerleader at a few international tournaments and hasn't got on.
This, I think, is his third World Cup and the first game he's actually played. Anyway, those are some things that may or may not have happened on Monday. And let's have a look, then, after a little bit of music, at what might just take place on Tuesday.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
Quick word here from Chileno's Barmy Army. He says, I know I'm a little bit late, but just for your information, here in Spain, a Zimmer frame is called a taca-taca. So the common consensus in Catalonia is that Spain have gone from tiki-taca to taca-taca. Very nicely done that, Chileno's Barmy Army. All sorts of other interesting posts and stuff. For example, here's Astro Boy, who goes by a very long-winded and complicated name these days, but he's saying, what a shame it is that Manaus is only being described as hot and sweaty. There's so many interesting things to be done in the town. Apparently, they've introduced all sorts of special laws. They've relaxed a lot of the local bylaws for the World Cup, so everyone's having a terrific time. It's a completely improbable place and with an improbable history. And it's all great. He says, oh, there's an interesting postscript on this. The rubber barons used to import water from Europe and send their laundry there too. By that standard, hosting the World Cup is cheap. It certainly is.
What were the bylaws that they relaxed? Do we know?
He just doesn't specify it. She says,
it's a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
Lazy posters.
Yeah, absolutely. But he does talk about swimming on the beaches of the Rio Negro. The black. It all sounds very exciting. Anyway, that's Manaus, where Honduras will be taking Switzerland on Wednesday. But before that, let's talk Tuesday. Group C features Greece taking on the Ivory Coast and Japan, Colombia. That's all very well, but how are they standing after two games? Well, Colombia on 6 points, Ivory Coast drawn 3 points, Japan and Greece both have 1 point. So Colombia are through, and there's a slight question mark about whether they're going to finish top, but let's be frank, they're going to finish top. And someone's going to join them. It's probably going to be Ivory Coast. Now, Ivory Coast taking on Greece. Greece have a chance, but they have to win, and they haven't scored any goals so far. So I'm envisaging it. This is going to be a game where they'll actually have to come out and play, Scott. How's that going to work?
It'll be interesting to see. I minute by minute.
Will it be interesting to see?
Well, you know, I minute by minute the Japan-Greece game on the other night. And when I was watching it, I thought, this is appalling.
When you do a minute by minute, when you look at who you've drawn, if it's Greece, do you think, oh, that's all right, I have plenty of time? But if it's, let's say France, Brazil, you might think, oh, how am I possibly going to try and
score quite a few goals?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, I've never thought about it like that, but I think I probably will now.
Producer Ben's just made a telling point, and that is that for all the time that you would be afforded by the lack of any, by the paucity of incident, you'll use up typing up all their names, of course. Anyway, we digress. Yeah. So Greece, Ivory Coast.
Well, the thing about Greece was that, like, after watching that game, the Japan Greece game, and I thought this is bloody appalling. But then the more I've thought about it, it's sort of percolated in my head, and I've grown to appreciate it. It's like you know, one of those albums that you have to maybe give two or three spins before it. And the album I thought was most like is The Shape of Jazz to Come by Ornette Coleman, which just sounds like a noise when you first hear it.
Right.
But after a while, the sort of horn begins to work off the drums. Yeah, you're getting that, that's great. So, you know, it was, the Greeks were not that bad. They were down to 10 men after 30-odd minutes and could have easily, like Samaras could have scored it near the end.
Right. How many times do you think you'd have to listen to this podcast for it to
to start making sense?
Resonate in the same way.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one.
Right. Anyway, sorry, so you're actually appreciating...
Well, I'm appreciating Greece. And Gekas came on and he was very good. He had a couple of decent shots towards the end. I mean, I know the Greeks' record at the World Cup is appalling. I think they've lost all by one game in three final visits so far. But you just never know, and you could quite easily see them scrambling a late winner. And the Ivory Coast, of course, have a record for bottling things in various tournaments.
Yeah.
And this is the first chance they've had of getting through a group, you know, the first fair chance. They've had such hard draws before.
Yeah.
So, you know, that might cause them to struggle a wee bit.
Ivory Coast do only need a draw, though.
That's true. It's the impression they've been playing a little bit within themselves thus far. They haven't really lived up to their potential, Ivory Coast.
No, they never live up to their potential. Well, that's the thing about Ivory Coast. They've so many great players, and they've never done it at the Africa Cup of Nations. They did have hard groups in the last two World Cups, but they still never looked like they were really going to make it up.
Everyone's been very impressed with Serge Aurier and, of course, with Gervinho, especially those who haven't been watching him at Roma this season. So they do look dangerous. Of course, it's going to be a very difficult game for Yaya Nkolo Touré, the first time they'll be playing since they heard about the death of their younger brother Ibrahim. Very bad news. Now, so Ivory Coast then only need a draw to go through with Colombia. Colombia themselves will be taking on Japan. Pow! Colombia look electric, don't they?
I agree.
Yep, good. All right, what are you doing, Scott?
Well, I just suddenly got the fear. I can't remember whether there are actually any drums on Ornette Coleman's Shape of Jazz. It's such a long time since I've listened to it.
Oh, the tweets. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? Play it or look and see who's credited as the drummer?
No, there is. Trying to think. I was getting it confused with
Enya album.
The Jimmy Jeffery 3.
Of course.
Yeah. I was gonna,
or an Enya album.
Yes.
Yankee Hotel Foxtrot as well.
By Wilco? Has that not got any drums on it?
No, no, no. It's just one of those albums that you've got to listen to a couple of times and then you go back and you go, and you're, wow, that's something else.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if I would... That, for me, is post-album in the sense that there was a point, and you know, digital music has played a massive part in this, where the whole concept of buying a group of songs together as an album
just seem to become obsolete. And I think Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, or Foxtrot Hotel, whichever way around it is, even the words for me are no longer kind of in any way grouped together. But that's all fine and dandy, but what about Group D? Because somebody's going to be facing Colombia in the last 16, and it's whoever finishes second, e.g. behind Costa Rica, probably, in Group D, and that's going to be determined by Italy-Uruguay. What a game that looks set to be. The other match, of course, is Costa Rica against England. We could talk about this or not, because, yeah. No, I mean, just because everyone's talking about it, and there's all sorts of things to say about England, but they've largely been said, and I don't know, you know, we'll have some fresh blood in this. Go on, then, Ian.
Yeah, well, there are some more interesting questions about Italy.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's just skip that, and we'll go straight back onto Italy-Uruguay again. Go on, then. What did you want to
say? Well, because Balotelli, okay, he scored in the first game, but he hasn't quite worked up front.
Hmm.
I was wondering, in your Italian knowledge, is there any chance he'll play Immobile and Sergio?
Cerci,
yeah.
Yeah. Here's what the Gazzetta reckons is going to happen. Prandelli is going to go three at the back, which a lot of his defenders are very comfortable with. Five across the middle is going to drop Thiago Motta, who, to be fair, wasn't that good against Costa Rica. He's going to bring back Verratti, who I think was a bit out of shape. He was coming back to fitness before the first game. And up front, he's going to go with Balotelli and Immobile. So he's going to have two up front, the daring fella. Yeah. Some people might say, ooh, two Immobile strikers up front. But that might be unfair. Balotelli did get a fair amount of criticism for his performance in the game against Costa Rica. But I think it's also true that, I mean, I'm not sure how many balls. There was that beautiful ball over the top from Pirlo, which would have been a cracking goal if he scored it. Unfortunately, he didn't control it properly. In the second half, I think he barely got a pass.
Prandelli's come in for some criticism as well, hasn't he?
Prandelli has, yeah. Well, I think, I mean, it's a difficult thing. You can have some managers who will make sweeping changes and be rewarded with success. And Didier Deschamps did this with France's second game. Unfortunately, Italy, who have this history of blowing the second game, him breaking up what was a very winning combination, particularly on the right, Damian and Candreva, and bringing in Thiago Motta, it just slowed the whole side down. But I think Italy paid the price a lot for the amount of energy they'd expended in Manaus when they then had to go and play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Recife, which is also blindingly hot. So, you know, they got beat. It was 1-0. All right, Costa Rica could have had a penalty. It wasn't Italy's best game. But if he's going with that formation, the Gazzetta's really excited about it. I'm pretty excited about it. I think commentators are really excited about it. Arrigo Sacchi said that that's definitely the way to go. Gazzetta makes a nice point as well. They say having a forward called Immobile is a little bit like having a defender called Gentile in the 82 World Cup. And whenever they can tie anything back to how it was in 82, the Italians are very, very happy. So,
very nice.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. They faced each other last year in the Confederations Cup. I think it was the third, fourth playoff. Finished 2-2 in normal time, and then Italy won on penalties. But they're facing a Uruguay side that has Luis Suarez. And when you have Luis Suarez, what else do you need? Scott?
Well, exactly. And I mean, I think this is one of the great early tragedies of this World Cup, is that we're going to lose either Italy or Uruguay. And Italy look like the better side, but Uruguay maybe have slightly better team spirit. And certainly in Suarez, probably at the moment, on the way the sort of big names are playing, he's playing as well as anyone, with maybe the exception of Messi and Benzema and Robin. but you know, I mean, you know, if we lose him, that's a shame. And also the idea that we might lose the chance of Uruguay at some point running into Brazil is just such a shame. It would be lovely to see that occur. Oh,
there's some great stories there, aren't there? Suarez, I'm intrigued by that, though. He was in a wheelchair a month ago.
Yeah.
And I'm no sports scientist, but I can understand how your body might get yourself up for one particular game, particularly if you wanted to prove a point to an entire nation and that. But I'm not sure if you might suffer a little bit of a reaction physically heading into your next match. I'm not sure how easy it is for the body to produce two performances like that in short succession.
I had a similar injury
in my
long gone footballing days, and it took me a long time to get over it.
I
don't know how he's done it.
Well, he's come back and he's done one. Maybe he can do another. They have Maxi Pereira coming back at the full back, whereas Italy are almost certainly going to be without De Rossi, which is a massive hole in their lineup. So
It's probably also worth noting how much better Edinson Cavani looked beside Suarez than he did game. They combined for the first goal, which was a superb ball by Cavani for Suarez. So they do, you know, with the two up front, I think they could cause Italy a lot of problems. Because it's not Italy's greatest ever defence.
It isn't, is it? Wow. Italy only need the draw to go through. Mm-hmm. But are they going to get it? That's very much the question. Do you think they're going to get it, Scott?
I think they will, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah.
I think Uruguay are going to win.
There you go. It's going to be huge, this. It's going to be huge. Right, okay. Well, that's it for today's World Cup Football Daily. We'll be back with the reaction to Tuesday's action on Tuesday night. So do join us for that. Meantime, many, many thanks, Ian.
Thank you.
Scott Murray.
Thanks, James.
And producer Ben, who's made his way back. And you, listener, we'll catch up with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
World Cup Football Daily, just like being in Brazil.